Line it up. No, push. Okay, go. Okay, perfect. Good job.
Now let's do this side over there.
An automatic land. When you get it over the point, you can use that automatic land feature.
Those are the sounds of summer camp. A drill, a drone, a mini excavator. And the kids using them? They're 9 to 12 years old. When you hear the word summer camp, you might conjure up images of making s'mores and learning to canoe. But at Pittsburgh State University, these campers are taking a different approach. They're programming robots, pouring concrete, and using GPS. It's feeding their minds, fueling their curiosity, and laying a foundation of soft and hard skills for their future. I'm Andra Stefanoni, and this is Gorilla Connection.
Hey, my name is Laura, and I'm 12 years old.
And you're a camper in Construct Your Future.
Yeah.
I just saw you doing some kind of, it looked like a simulated, like you were driving some piece of machinery. What were you doing?
I don't know the name of it, but it was a simulator. We're actually doing one outside. There's a real one outside, and it's really cool. We get to work on it, and it's a once-in-a-life experience because I don't think I would ever be doing this somewhere else.
Yeah. Cool.
I had to go outside and see that real excavator for myself.
Today what we have them doing is getting a little bit of exposure to what we call the mini excavator. So there's all different types of sizes. This is one of those smaller units to assist us in smaller areas with littler tasks instead of a large excavator that will help us move material.
Okay. So you've got a student here who says she's 9 years old, and you're telling me that she will be able to use that.
Yes. Yep. Okay. Yeah, we'll teach them how to use it. The main thing about that is, you know, you used to use shovels, which takes a long time if you're going to move a lot of material. This allows us to use a lot less time, get the same amount of work done, so it's all about efficiency in the construction world.
That's a pretty unique experience for a 9-year-old to get to have.
That
this
it is.
This is a neat camp.
Yeah. It's pretty valuable for them. I mean, not everybody's going to go into construction, but it's just having that idea of what is out there, just having that exposure is pretty cool that we have that opportunity to give these kids that opportunity.
And tell us, introduce yourself, your name and your title.
You bet. Chris Pross, assistant professor here at the School of Construction.
Thank you.
You bet.
Okay. All right, who's up?
Me.
Yay!
Hey.
Okay. Hold on. Allie, you'll be next, okay?
So, how did it all begin? Let's find out.
Hello, my name is Jim Otter. I'm the director of the Pitt State School of Construction.
And you are also the founder of this camp, right?
Yep. Randy Windsor and I got together and decided to do two camps for kids targeted 9 to 12-year-olds. He was going to do adventures in robotics in the morning for 3 hours, and I was going to do Construct Your Future in the afternoon for 3 hours.
And that was a couple decades ago, and it's still going strong.
Yes, very, very well. We've been doing it for a long time, made some modifications. We try to target 20 to 25 students in each session.
What kinds of things do they do here, and then what kinds of skills does that mean that they leave here with?
We try to make sure that they understand the breadth of construction. So, for example, in our first level Construction Future, We start with safety. So they all have to put hard hats, safety glasses on, and then we do a safety procedure on small tools. How to use a hammer, how to use a drill, how to use a scroll saw, and we have little activities they do. So that's a starting day. Second day, we talk about designing a home, where we design a home for birds. And so we use SketchUp to do a model of a birdhouse, and then we have them assemble a birdhouse using an air nailer. And then they get to take that home. And then yesterday, Wednesday, our third day, we try to focus on bridges. So they start by building a paper bridge that has to hold a certain amount of weight. Then we use a software that has a bridge. They get to design bridges and see if a truck will drive across that. And then we end up building popsicle stick bridges. Yesterday afternoon, there was glue flying and popsicle sticks everywhere, but they made some awesome bridges. And then today our focus is equipment. So they've been in our equipment simulator lab, outside running a mini excavator, and also flying a drone. And then today we start on our dog houses. We build 6 dog houses. And then on Friday we have a drawing for the families that say they want the dog houses. These are big dog houses. And so we'll build 6 of those, and then we have a drawing on Friday. So today we're going to start on the foundations of those. And then tomorrow we'll do a little estimating. We'll do some more on SketchUp, where they have some freestyle. This SketchUp's a software. They can put all kinds of geometry and all kinds of images in a drawing. And then we'll finish our dog houses. We let them sign them all inside, take pictures with them, and then we'll have our drawing. And that wraps up our first week of Construct Your Future.
I'm guessing that not all of these students are going to wind up in the School of Construction as majors. Why is it important for kids to do this, regardless of whether they go into it for a career?
Well, there's several issues that we look at. I look at when I was growing up and how when I had idle time, my folks just said, go outside and do something. So we played and built tree houses and forts and tunnels, all without much direction.
Sure.
And I told my kids when they were younger, I went back and showed them my first tree house, which was still standing some 40 years later. It was rotted, but it was still in the tree. And then I read an article about a group, and I believe it was in New York, I can't remember exactly, where a guy took an old junkyard and with pallets and tires and dirt and cleaned it up, but left all of that stuff and put basic tools, hand tools, hammers, saws, that kind of stuff, and let kids use it as a playground. And if they got a scratch or a scrape, they just fixed it, no big deal. No tears, fixed it, and he said what those kids did out there was quite amazing. And he said they need supervision, but they don't need direction on everything. And that was kind of the goals of these workshops, is to give students an exposure. We know that this is not a recruiting thing for school construction. It's an exposure thing. They know how to use a hammer. They know that a vertical construction member is called a column now. They know a beam is a horizontal member. They know concrete's made out of cement, water, rock, and sand now. Things that they may not ever get an exposure to. And that's really the goal.
Just they can use it in their own lives, in their own homes.
Yeah.
When they,
if they need to.
Sure.
I bet you they never forget it.
And regardless of whether they actually build, it's teaching them things like teamwork and independent thinking.
Patience.
Sure.
Communication. Mm-hmm. And we have fun with them because we have little contests. We'll ask them questions, trivia. We'll have, how many inches in a foot, how many pounds in a ton, that kind of stuff, so that they have to think a little bit.
Sure.
Too.
Seems like you're having just as much fun as they are.
Yeah.
Is that true?
It's a blast. It wears you out, though, because behind the scenes every morning we got to prep everything. So we spend hours cutting stuff out, prepping it. We don't let them do much cutting.
Uh-huh.
So we prefab most everything. So we spend a lot of time, but it's worth it. It's a blast.
It sounds like this involves quite a few other people besides
yourself. A whole team of us get together. We typically have 6 to 8 faculty involved with this whole process. Kids leave with a hard hat, safety glasses, and a high-vis shirt, and it's just and birdhouses and a toolbox, and so it's pretty cool.
And you'll keep doing it as long as you're able?
As long as I'm physically able, and the College of Technology says go for it. Randy and I will keep doing these things.
Sounds cool. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah.
All right, I'll let you get back to it.
Upstairs in the same building, Jim's colleague Randy is running the robotics camp, where kids like Cole couldn't wait to tell me all about it.
My name is Cole Bartlow, and I am 10 years old.
10 years old. Okay, and what is the name of this camp that you're in? It looks really fun.
Pittsburgh State Robotics Camp.
A robotics camp. So are you building robots or learning about robots or both?
All of that.
All of that. Okay. You started yesterday.
Yeah.
And what kinds of things have you been doing? What kinds of activities?
So we started doing a team building activity. We built towers out of paper and duct tape. We lost, but we actually had the strongest towers. Then later that day, we started creating Lego robots, and we programmed them using a computer, and we were accomplishing certain challenges with them.
Okay. Challenges that they have to move and work through?
Yes.
Like they have to go in a certain direction and then do some kind of task?
Yeah.
Okay.
We added attachments for them to sense how to, what to do whenever they see this or what to do whenever they feel this pressure.
Uh-huh. And you have lots of people helping you, right? You're on a team?
Yes.
Okay. Did you know these kids before this camp, or they're just all brand new to you?
All of them are brand new to me.
And, Cole, why did you want to do this camp this summer? What was it that sounded interesting to you?
Well, so my mom told me that Pitt State was doing construction camps and robotics camps, and she said that I probably couldn't do both of them because it would take up the whole day. So I just told her that I'd like robotics best, and I'm going to do construction next year.
That sounds like a plan. Yeah.
It was just kind of fun, and I think it's kind of fun to have that skill, too.
It seems valuable in today's world. Yeah. You're doing problem solving?
Yes. It took us like 30 minutes to finish what we're doing right now. We're still not finished with it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I won't take too much of your time, but I really appreciate you sharing. I think it'll be fun for people listening to this to find out what kids are doing out here at Pitt State this summer. So thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
To find out more, I tracked down Randy, who, like Jim, was having just as much fun as the campers.
So my name is Randy Windsor, and I'm a professor of engineering technology here in the Kansas Technology Center. And this is our 20th year for Adventures in Robotics. So when we started this, we sat down Jim Otter, who was the department chair of engineering technology at the time. We sat down and we said, gee, there's a lot of activities for kids that, you know, there's cheerleading camp and baseball camp, but there's not anything that's really of an academic nature. And so we just kind of had a brainstorming session. We said, we've got this fabulous facility in the Kansas Technology Center, which was only a few years old at the time. What could we do that would bring sort of middle school age kids? We really didn't know all those answers when we started. We knew that in order to make it successful, that we needed a certain population density, because you can't really have an activity like this and only have 5 people show up. We wanted to capture kids that still had a little bit of a spark of imagination and maybe weren't turned off by certain subjects like math or physics or the sciences. And so we settled on a middle school age group. And we said, let's do robots. And so at the time, Lego Education was partnered with Pitsco here in town. And we went out and bought, I think we started with 4 of their robotic kits. And our first year was wildly successful beyond what we thought we would have. I think we had 19 that first year. And it's done nothing but grow since then. So we give them several different challenges through the week. We say, okay, you need to go out and pick up the red brick that we've put out here on this table, and you've got to build and program a robot. First of all, it's got to be smart enough to drive to where the brick is located. It's got to have something to grab it or push it with, and then bring it back to wherever we've told it. And so we give them a number of these challenges like that. The other concept that we really push them into is teamwork, and the fact that no person is an island. You're going to have to work well with others. And so we've always done everything in a team setting, 2 to 3 students in a team working on solving that problem.
So big picture, most kids are not going to grow up to need to program a robot to go pick up a red brick, right?
Right.
So I'm going to ask you to paint for us a picture of how this camp might translate into the future for these students in terms of a career, or maybe not in terms of a career.
So one of the things we really push throughout the week is sort of these life lessons and life skills of, you know, thinking ahead, thinking through a problem, trying not to be reactionary. I don't usually tell this story because it's kind of lost on 10 or 11-year-olds, but I tell this to my college-age students all the time. I have a recruiter who's been an engineering recruiter for over 2 decades, and whenever he calls me for a reference, he always asks me the same question. He says, are they a good person? And after him and I discussed for several times, I got the picture of what he's looking for. And this is what he always said. He said, I don't need somebody who's the best technically or the smartest academically. He said, I need someone who will show up, try hard, think creatively, you know, think outside the box. Because he said, if I have a person like that, he said, I can teach them a technical skill. He said, if they don't know how to use a piece of software, he said, we'll send them off to learn that piece of software. We'll send them to a workshop. He said, it's the sort of life skills of, you know, can you work well with others? Or do you try to monopolize? You know, is your idea always the best idea? You know, can you think of maybe new and innovative ways to solve a problem? Because industry is always looking for that. And so that's the big picture skills that we've always tried to focus.
It's not just kids who are camping. It's teachers and future teachers, too.
This year, being our 20th year, we wanted to do something a little different. So we wrote a grant that was funded by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration through the Kansas Space Grant Consortium. And they were able to help us purchase all brand new LEGO Spike Prime sets, which is LEGO's latest version of their robotic system. They're on about, I think, the fourth or fifth generation of LEGO robotics. And so this is the brand new, the latest thing. And in order to sort of sell that grant, we said, you know, they're probably not interested in just buying us $7,000 worth of robots for us to keep. We said, how can we sell this? And so NASA Space Grant is tasked with increasing STEM education in the 50 states. And so we said, hey, let's not only get these new robots, but let's bring in area educators to show them this new system. And so in conjunction with this year's Adventures in Robotics, we are doing the Adventures in Robotics Teacher Workshop. And so we have 10 area educators. They've been here since Sunday the 10th. We started with an in-service day. We were here for about 7 or 8 hours on Sunday because we wanted them to be acclimated and know the system a little bit before they got thrown in with 25 camp kids that were using it as well. And so, and then one of those teachers, thanks to the grant, is going to take this kit back, one of these kits back to their home school with them. So we bought an extra kit and we're going to do a drawing from those 10 educators at the end of 2 weeks.
Nice.
Okay, my name is Riley Cavance. I'm from Carthage, Missouri, but I go to school here at Pitt State, and my major is biology education, so I'm wanting to be a secondary high school teacher.
Okay, and so you're getting ready for your student teaching semester this fall?
In the spring.
Oh, in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what is your role here with this camp, and why did you want to do it?
Well, we're called mentors, so we're pretty much helping these students figure out these codings and working with the LEGO robots and stuff. And I kind of wanted to do it just basically for more experience, because with COVID, it's been hard having experience through college. And so when I got asked to do this, I was like, yeah, totally. I'll work with these students. It'll give me more time working with students and just more experience overall. And I have no experience with robotics at all. So I was like, I'll get some experience with that as well.
That's great. So, yeah, that's true. You were kind of hampered on getting your clinical experience,
yes,
or your observations in the classroom there for a few years.
Yes.
So this is some great practical experience, mm-hmm, helping students navigate through an activity and figure out what works and what doesn't.
Yeah.
What kinds of activities have you been responsible for helping them with?
Mainly just making sure they stay on task, making sure they work together, because it's weird going from big groups to small groups, because you have to make sure you include everybody in small groups and making sure they're all getting along and working together.
My name is Diana Busett. I will be a first-year teacher at Galena Unified School District. I just got hired with them this summer.
Well, congrats.
Thank you.
That's great.
Yes.
And what grade will you be teaching?
I will be teaching second grade.
That's exciting.
Yes. I'm very excited.
So did you just graduate or this is just a new position?
Just a new position. I was the building technology assistant for Pittsburgh USD 250 at George Nettles. And so I've had my degree since 2013. And this is just the next step in getting into the classroom.
So what appealed to you about this camp? Why did you want to help out with robotics camp this summer?
Well, before I got this new position, I was a building tech and we did, you know, I taught computers and how to type and stuff, but I wanted to bring more of a coding aspect into this next year as well. And so I just thought, hey, robots are fun. My kids like Legos, and why not combine the coding aspect with the computer aspect and try and, you know, grab more kids' attention. And so, but now I'm excited to bring this into the second grade classroom and just have like, and bring that STEM in and get them thinking about what they can do in the middle school and the high school as second graders.
Yes, coding is a big buzzword right now,
yes.
And so is STEM, but it's about laying a foundation, isn't it?
Yes.
So that eventually they're either using this in their everyday lives or perhaps for a career.
Or, yeah.
I've been reading that there are a number of career opportunities and they're not going away anytime soon.
No.
That's going to continue.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about how this camp is set up and what your role is in it.
So on Sunday, we had a teacher workshop, so where we actually came in and got to play around with the robots and learn the programs. And then now with the kids, we're just mentoring them. So we're helping them, we're guiding them if they get stuck, we're helping them through the coding aspect and making them really think about, okay, so that didn't work. What do we need to do to our program to make it work? And just helping them guide through that program and be there to facilitate any problems that they need.
Sounds like they're picking up a number of soft skills in this camp then too.
Yes.
That could be good for any job.
Yes.
Let's talk about those. I would think problem solving would be one of them that's most obvious. What
yes.
are some other?
Collaboration as well. Getting, you know, because they're in groups of two to three, some have four, making sure that they're all working together as a team to get to that end goal of making sure our robot can get where we need to get. And just, you know, and working together as a team and making sure everybody is being heard and sharing their responsibilities.
It sounds like it would translate across a number of different careers and life opportunities.
Oh, yeah. And working in the classroom, too. So
absolutely.
Because you have to work as a group in a classroom. So, yeah.
Yes.
I was excited when I signed up, but getting to see the kids' faces like that, it just has exemplified what I, you know, that I wanted to do this because seeing them learn and seeing their eyes light up like and get excited when something works and their program works. Like, so it's fun to see their excitement and that just helps boost my energy as well.
That's wonderful. Well, congrats and thanks for being willing to spend some time with some young people here this summer.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Good to meet you.
Good to meet you.
Seeing these summer camps and the impact they were having on local youth and teachers was a great reminder that universities don't just serve college students, they serve our communities. Keep up to date with all that's coming up on campus in three ways. Subscribe to the digital Gorilla Connection newsletter, which will arrive by email in your inbox each Wednesday, by going to pittstate.edu/gorillaconnection and choosing Sign Up at the top of the page. Follow Pitt State on social media. We're on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And visit our homepage at pittstate.edu and scroll down until you see events. All of them are open to the public, and many of them are free. Thanks for listening.